Minnesota program. It is indeed an honor to have in studio one of the Grand Marshals of the Faribault Heritage Days Parade. What kind of experience was that, Dusty Deanst, Fire Chief for Faribault?
What a fun night that was. That, you know, that was, it was humbling to be able to represent public safety in general, but it's not a whole lot. So as a firefighter for 27 years, I'm so used to everything we do, just about everything we do as a team. I would have felt odd to be like the only Grand Marshal or different, just because it's just how I'm trained and gone through a lot of my life. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, most of the time it is one person, and that's just fine. But that was a very fitting setup, I think, for what we did there, to have all three of our agencies represented by us three. I think people would be surprised to know how often Andy, Troy, and I, or Rice County, Faribault PD, and Fire train, meet, or do stuff together. I mean, it's... Especially as a fire department, we don't go to very many emergency scenes where we don't have one of those two agencies with us.
And that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. That's a good setup. There's a lot of different viewpoints, a lot of different training aspects that we all bring. So when we go to solve a problem, having all those resources like that is better for the person that has the problem.
Frankly, most of the calls you guys go on now are medical, right?
Most of the calls we go on are medical, and a lot of times we'll get, in the county, we'll get a deputy, or in the city we'll get PD, but not all the time. Depends on timing, how busy they are, their priority of the backlog of calls that we have. But most of the time, there's law there. Of course, ambulances come in, and I did give a shout-out to one of the ambulance people along the parade route that, you know, she should have been in there too, that just by getting after her a little bit. But it is, in public safety, it's a team concept. Now, a little bit less for law, because they're running around out there doing their thing, and they're more on their own than the fire department is. But I think you'd even be surprised between Rice County Sheriff and Faribault PD, or other PDs in Rice County, how much interaction there is between agencies.
You got to ride the whole route. Obviously, I'm at an announcer's stand toward the end of the parade. So what was the crowd like?
There was a good crowd from one end to the other. Very similar, I think, to other years. You have the little stretch by the Faribault Foods down there on the one side that there's not a lot of people. But other than that, there's a lot of people everywhere. Now, whether they were jam-packed or the numbers were the same, but it seemed plenty busy, and talking with the firefighters that were handing out stuff, and my wife was on a different float. It was nonstop. There was lots of people to hand stuff out to, so I think it was a very good crowd.
Yep. And the parade was shorter than normal, but I thought it was just about perfect, a little under an hour.
Yeah, there's that. Everybody has their own opinion, but there have been parades that we've all been to that are like, oh, my word, it just keeps going and going, and when's the end? I did, when we got to the end, being that we were towards the front, I walked back down and rode with Andy back down, and we watched most of the parade that we didn't miss in our little loop of coming back around. There was a couple gaps in there, but for the most part, it was a pretty cool parade.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And the gaps were because they let the bands perform, and I think that's good.
Sure.
I mean, why have them come and not have them perform?
Yeah, just have them walking down the street, you know.
Yeah.
So people appreciate that. Being when that gap's there and you don't know what's coming, it makes you wonder sometimes. But, you know, how do you I'm not a parade organizer, so I don't know how you get around that. But
there's a lot more to it than I think meets the eye.
Oh, yeah.
And there were no horses. There
no
have
horses.
Been in the past. No tractors that I recall. You know, the antique tractors, they used to have a good segment of those.
Right.
So I don't know if that just didn't happen or what.
Yeah, I would imagine, because last-minute COVID stuff, I'm
well,
sure.
Well, that's it.
Well, yeah. We'll see. I mean, that's what we're saying right now. We'll see as I just saw a thing come through on my email for defeat of Jesse James Day parade. And even there, they're saying about last-minute getting this parade set up that it could affect it. That's a little last-minute than Morristown or Faribault. So we'll see if maybe there's more time for people that have to get the carburetor clean on the tractor to make sure it makes it all the way down the parade route and all those little things
right.
That we probably don't know of unless you are that person that has that.
But it was great to be out. Man, when I went to Central Park after the parade, there were a lot of people in Central Park.
Lots of people. That was there. That was Saturday. Good band. So a lot of
A very good band.
Yeah, played some music that I hadn't heard
Lady
for a
Luck.
While. Yeah, some of my era music they're playing. So, yep, had some fair food. It was nice to do. I enjoyed it. We stood around, watched, and listened, and it was a nice night.
Yeah, even without the carnival, it seemed like it was, you know, that didn't faze it.
Right.
Which is a good thing. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Heritage Days, but I thought I'd get Dusty's take on being the Grand Marshal of the Faribault Heritage Day celebration. Of course, the previous Grand Marshal was running the camera on the back of the truck that I was sitting on.
Yeah, I passed him in Central Park later that evening, and he said congratulations on his. I was leaving, and he was walking in. So, yeah, that was nice. And so you see. I saw a handful of people that I haven't seen for a while, but we live in the same town.
COVID, that's what that was.
Yeah, sometimes the opportunity isn't there to run into them because these festivals and these gatherings haven't happened for so long.
Yep, we're cooped up. We want to get out, and I think that was obvious this past weekend. Of course, there are more city celebrations we'll be going to in the not-too-distant future. Today, Dusty and I are going to talk about fireworks safety when we get back from our opening market report. I think that's perfect timing. We'll do it right after the opening market report. Service of Northland Buildings for quality post-frame construction. Find out more. Check them out on their website, northlandbuildings.com.
Soybeans are mixed. Corn, cattle, and hogs are lower. I'm John Perkins with a Brownfield Market Update. Yield plus value. With access to experts, great products, and compelling value, trust in Stein to deliver. Stein makes the difference because Stein has yield. Learn more at steinseed.com. Soybeans are mixed, mostly lower. Nearby months are up. The furds are down. Most forecasts have more rain and cooler temperatures this week in many areas, but some parts of the region will stay dry. China and unknown destinations both bought new crop U.S. beans this morning. July's up 5 3/4 at 14.01 3/4. August beans are 1 1/4 higher at 13.56 1/4. Corn's down on fund and technical selling. Also watching that weather, including a chance for a return to hot, dry conditions across the region later this month. High winds this past weekend might have damaged crops in some areas. July corn's down 3.5 at 6.51 3/4. September corn's 9 3/4 lower at 5.67 3/4. And wheat's mixed. Winter wheat harvest activities ongoing, but with delays in some areas due to rain. And while the spring wheat harvest did get some rain recently, longer-term forecasts are dry. July Chicago's up 1 1/4 now at 6.64. Cotton's down on technical selling, with July 45 lower at 83.97 and October down 78 at 85.33. On technical buying, July rice is up 13.5 at 12.74.5. September's 13.5 higher at 13.03.5. Live and feeder cattle are lower on Friday's lower close in beef, watching distribution of the show list. June live, 60 lower at 120.45, and August is down $1 at 120.55. August feeders are 107 lower at 153.95. September's down 80 at 156.42. And hogs are lower following Friday's sharply lower move in pork, with July down $1.92 at 106.75, and August lean 267 lower at 104. Follow us on Twitter at Brownfield, John Perkins, Brownfield.
Thanks, John. That's your opening market report on our AM Minnesota program. We've got Dusty Dienst. He is the fire chief for the city of Faribault. And it's perfect timing here because the 4th of July is just around the corner. And guess what's synonymous with the 4th of July? Fireworks.
And I'm happy to say, for many reasons,
knock on wood,
the rain that we got yesterday kind of changed a little bit of my thoughts on what was coming up.
Well, we only got a half inch, Dusty.
Yeah, and I know the ground will soak that up pretty fast, but it helps in the breakdown. It helps in the biological stuff that goes on with the old dead grass from last year, which is what we always, at this point, worry about for fires. You don't get a rip-roaring, raging fire right now because there's even the green stuff can be dry, but it's not as dry as stuff that's not green. So the rain yesterday helped the ground clutter, the stuff that's laying down on the ground, last year's dead grass, to be moist, to break down, and to be a little less flammable. So other than the obvious benefits of the rain, and hopefully we get some more before the 4th of July, because when it comes to fireworks or fire starting, if we don't see rain for another couple of weeks again, we'll be right back to where we were Saturday.
Do you get a lot of calls around the 4th? Concerning fireworks?
Not a lot, but we do get some. We've year before, well, the way time flies, maybe even longer, we went to a garage fire that was...
caused by fireworks?
Yep, caused by fireworks that were discarded improperly in the garbage can next to the garage. It caught the siding on fire. Strangely enough, we've gone to a couple... trees on fire, a bottle rocket goes up into a tree up high and lands in something that catches on fire, old, you know, a squirrel's nest or a dry branch. So you wouldn't think that would be, I don't think that that's real high probability of happening, but I can think of at least twice that that's happened.
You have any medical calls?
Not a lot of medical calls.
Thank heavens.
Yeah, I think a lot of the some of the info I have here, hands are typically injured, sometimes the face exploding too close to you, but hands. And one would just assume that because you're, unless you're really gravely injured, if it's a burn to your hand or explosion on your hand, a lot of times they just jump in a car and somebody hauls them up there instead of calling an ambulance and us. So I think that's what happens with a lot of the injuries. There's 75 on average 75 hospital visits each year in Minnesota. So that's a little lower number than I thought it would be. So that's that a percentage of those go by ambulance, but that's not very many to begin with, really, 75 across the state.
No, but still it's 75 people that, you know, we need to be smarter about these things, right?
Yeah, 75 people that had it not been for fireworks probably wouldn't have went.
I always say just leave it to the professionals.
Well, and unfortunately, out of those 75 people, it doesn't break this down here, but 45% of those are kids.
That's sad.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things I was reading this morning was, and this is a good thing to think about, but you have to be 18 years old to buy fireworks. So fireworks aren't for kids, but what do we think about?
Well, little kids running around with sparklers. How hot are those sparklers?
1,200 degrees. Yep. It's putting like, that's like, yeah, they're pretty, but that's like giving them a burning something and go ahead and go run around or wave it around. And so I know there's different ways of looking at it, celebrating, and you can do it correctly and safely, but you have to really supervise those kids if you allow them to play with the sparklers or the what's legal here, sparklers, fountains, ground spinners, and even those snappers. You know, once in a while you see kids or people throwing the snappers at each other, and they seem pretty innocent, but I've seen them leave marks on shirts when they get thrown at someone. So there's a little explosion there. That means there's a little bit of gunpowder or some explosive substance that will leave a mark. And if it's on your clothes, that's one thing. But if it's on your skin, that's another.
Now, according to this note from the Minnesota State Legislature, most of our surrounding states allow a lot more than Minnesota does.
Yeah, I believe I heard that the legislature was looking at that again. Don't know where that all ended up, if we're going to allow more. But at this point, the only thing, the things that are legal in Minnesota, let's put it this way.
Novelty items.
Yeah, if they explode or they shoot into the air, they are illegal in Minnesota at this point.
It says sparklers, snakes, smoke devices, generally legal generally, I like that word, generally. I mean, generally legal, really? That's what it says right in the state statute here. This is from the Minnesota Legislature office.
Makes it tough to enforce a law that is
generally
pretty gray.
Generally legal to sell, buy, and use. Most consumer-grade fireworks, firecrackers, etc. are legal for adults to use around the 4th of July and New Year's Eve. Not in Minnesota, but that's allowed in Iowa, North Dakota, and South Dakota. You've been to Wisconsin a fair amount, haven't you? You see all those firework stands?
Yep.
And Wisconsin's kind of like Minnesota. They don't allow a lot. So I don't understand how they allow them to sell them there if they don't. You know what I'm saying?
That is strange. You can sell them there but not use them?
It's weird, yeah. So it appears to be that way.
They're selling them from Minnesotans to come get.
Because Wisconsin doesn't allow most consumer-grade fireworks either, like Minnesota. And I know I see lots of firework stands over there.
Yeah. As soon as you get across the border, on a lot of borders, I don't think I remember seeing them in Iowa, but we just.
Same's true in South Dakota.
Yeah, we just went through there not too long ago. And I noticed some, so that is weird that they would. You can sell them, but you can't use them. That doesn't seem like it's a good marketing situation.
But again, you want to emphasize what is legal here in Minnesota, Dusty?
Yep. So what is legal are sparklers, fountains, ground spinners, and snappers. And another thing I learned today when I was looking up some info for this is that. Fireworks, even the legal ones, can't be used on public property such as parks, roads, alleys, schools, and government property. So it pretty much means you have to use them on private property. Now, we all know we go down to North Alexander for the fireworks show, and there's plenty of stuff going off. And
some, I watch them from my house.
Yeah, some would say, well, those are illegal. Well, that's a tough one for law enforcement to run around and to take care of that. So on those evenings, really what they're hoping for and what they're trying to do is to keep people safe. So limit the use, try to discourage the use. That night, if you could hear our radios when you switch to the law enforcement channel, it's nonstop complaints about fireworks going off, legal or illegal, doesn't matter. Noise, you know, later in the evening. And it's more of a, not that people won't get a ticket, but it's more of an educational safety thing. Do this stuff safely because it's a night to celebrate, and having a fire somewhere that you didn't intend to have is no way to celebrate.
That's why I always have said, Dusty, leave it to the professionals.
Yep, they do a good job. We have the same crew from last year. We will be launching them. Not we. They will be launching them from the racetrack again. So last year was a change of venue.
Right. And it worked great.
Yeah, and it worked out very well. And that was a COVID year, and it'll be very similar. I'm not sure what John Dvorak has set up for food stands. And last year was limited because of COVID. I think, and I don't know this for sure, but I think the plan is to have them down there again.
We'll find out tomorrow. He's on tomorrow.
Yeah, good. Ask him about that. And do know that there is a, I don't know if fallout area is the correct term, but there is a, it goes by the inch of shell that's shot. So a lot of our shells that are shot for our fireworks are like 4 or 5 inches. So it's like 100 feet per inch in a circle all the way around the center of where it's shot off that has to be cleared. So even out, so that gets outside of the grandstands to like where the BA food booth and all those food booths are right there. That's an area that people can't be in. So we typically have some volunteers and even a couple of firefighters that might be patrolling that area. We might paint it on the ground so they know you obviously can't see that when it's dark. But we set up a perimeter with the food booth last year to kind of create that surrounding.
You used glow in the dark paint.
Do they have that?
I think so.
Imagine they would. But I'll tell you, being going to fireworks for a long, long time from the fire departments, if you are too close, because you will have a stiff neck by the end of the evening because you're looking so straight up for so long.
Right.
So being back serves a couple purposes. It's a lot safer and you won't be sore the next morning.
The latter part is very good.
Especially for those of us that are, you know, getting up there a little bit in age. Or,
I don't know why you put yourself in that category, but
well, we're all getting older, every single one of us.
No, I know. And that's a good thing.
Yes.
You don't want the reverse.
Correct.
Most people don't anyway.
Correct.
Dusty Dienst is our guest. He is the fire chief here for the city of Faribault. We're going over fireworks safety next because we've kind of just touched on what's legal, what's not. And I guess maybe we did touch on safety as well. It's best just to avoid them, I think. I really get leery when I see little kids. I'm talking, you know, 4, 5-year-olds running around with sparklers because they're so hot.
They are hot.
All it takes is one trip and ew.
Yeah. I know that's the business that we're in is what if-ing things. You know, what if this, what if that? Like I said, what if you just stand there and flip it around in the air, you can even what if that, but yeah, if you let them go run around, walk around, they could burn themselves, they can run into somebody else and burn them.
Yep.
If it doesn't continue to rain.
Well, there's a professional football player who almost blew his hand off.
Yep.
I can't remember his name a couple of years ago, but he, you know.
Yeah, it's all fun until it's not anymore, and I believe any of those people that have had injuries due to fireworks would tell you that it's very painful. Burns, probably a lot of us have had burns. They are very painful, and there's not a whole lot you can do for them. They just have to run their course and heal. But, yeah, burns are, and that's the main injury. That's going to be the injury that goes along even with the pain or the possible tissue damage from an explosion. There's still going to be a burn there because that's what creates the explosion, the heat.
I'm guessing we're about 10 years apart, Dusty, in terms of age.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm guessing that is I was just going to go back into my memory books when I was a kid. I don't think any of this. I think firecrackers were legal when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. I hate to admit this, but I will over the air. But my senior T-shirt, I think I still have it because it's my senior T-shirt, has a hole about the size of a quarter in it from a bottle rocket that went awry. And, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It didn't burn me or anything. Didn't hurt me.
But put a hole in
it. Tied up my shirt, but it got put a hole in my shirt. Yeah. So.
Should take that out and show and tell the kids.
Yeah, they'd laugh at the shirt probably. It's pretty old. That was 1980.
But I mean, the hole came from a bottle rocket.
Yeah.
You think these things are safe? Look at this.
Some of those kids might not even know what a bottle rocket is anymore.
Well, that's true.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, you're right. But I remember as a kid running around with a sparkler.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But when I see it now, I just kind of cringe a little bit.
Yeah. Again, a lot like fires, there's a lot of sparklers, a lot of fireworks that go on in 75 hospital visits a year. So I don't want to poo-poo those because they are major, but I think the amount of fireworks that are used in the week, give or take, of the 4th of July, surely that most people are pretty safe and do take it serious because they know the ramifications of not taking it serious. So I would say we have a pretty good track record for lack of injuries. That's 75 people in an entire state going to the hospital. That's pretty low percentage. And I know not everybody uses fireworks, but there's plenty of them.
Oh, yeah. Are cap guns still around? You remember cap guns?
I do. I love cap guns. My kids, I don't think they are.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Lay those out and hit them with the hammer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's probably a safer firework than some of these other things that are out in the open. That was at least contained within the device that looked like a gun. But now that gets into a whole different realm of issues that we have now that we maybe didn't so much back then.
So, be safe this 4th of July. Anything else you wanted to touch on here in the final few moments?
We will talk about, so we always think of the fireworks being a lot unsafe in using them, but as mentioned earlier, that actually discarding of them is where some of the problems come into play. So, a bucket of sand, or I would say even better than a bucket of sand, a bucket of water to throw the discarded stuff into is the best idea there is. You know, just soak it down, just drop it in there. Never try to relight one that didn't work, or there's that little bit, that eighth inch of fuse that's still sticking out.
So don't let it lie on the ground, you're saying.
Well, don't relight the dud that didn't go or the fuse that went out, because now you only have a second to get away from there. Those fuses are a couple inches long to give you a little bit of leeway to get away from the thing. And so just throw it in the bucket and be done with it so somebody else doesn't try to light it. Stay away from houses and trees. Like mentioned, those are the things that you don't want a fire to catch on to. If you're going to let the kids use them, which is, I think, kind of a given, I'm not supporting it, but I have kids. I was a kid. Even you were a kid.
I know, it's hard to believe, but I was.
If you let them use them, just as an adult, supervise. Make sure that if they do start running around or if they get out into the dry grass, just corral them back in and, you know, teach them the right way to use and the safe way to use fireworks. And public service announcement. Now, Andy didn't tell me to say this, but don't use illegal fireworks. If you don't want to get in trouble for using illegal fireworks, don't use them, then you won't.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah, that's me. Simple. If you don't want to get in trouble for illegal fireworks, then just don't have them. So
don't use them. But you hear them all the time.
Yeah, they're around. And
I hear firecrackers all the time.
Yep.
Not just the 4th of July, not just New Year's Eve. You hear them all year round.
Yeah.
But again, you know, should police officers be going to every place, every neighborhood that has firecrackers?
Yeah.
That would be a lot of work.
Yeah, it's all in priority, and, you know, they're all laws, but law enforcement has to prioritize the calls they have, and fireworks are probably fairly low, especially around the 4th of July, because there's just so many of them, there's just not enough officers. But I did notice yesterday, and thankfully the rain took care of that, but I did notice yesterday we went out to eat for Father's Day, and we went down to Rochester, and at least 5 spots along the road where there was grass fires. Of course,
I saw some in the cities too. Yeah.
So be careful. I know we got that rain yesterday, and today, and maybe even tomorrow will be a lower danger.
Keep the butts in the car.
Keep the butts in the car. That's what Mr. Mike Mongi always used to say.
And meaning cigarette butts and cigar butts and that sort of thing.
Now, I will, to be fair to smokers and to all, I know of at least only one, so over a long career, that's not a lot. But we found a hot part of a exhaust system or something that was laying in the ditch next to one of these grass fires. So it's not to blame them all on smokers, because it can happen when something hot falls off your car or goes into the ditch. That can start a fire also. But thankfully, we haven't had a lot of, with the railroad going through here, we don't see a lot of that. Now I know if the firefighters are listening to this, they're just shaking their head and they're getting ready to respond to a grass fire along a railroad track. It does happen once in a while, but
not like the old days.
No, and a lot of our railroad back in the older days where there was less trees along there was more grass, prairie-type grass.
Plus, now, the railroad went right through the towns mostly.
Yeah. Now there's so many trees. I mean, you can pick out a railroad track because it's tree lined, you can't even see the tracks, and those tend to shade out the grass that are a lot easier for a spark off of the wheel of the car to start a fire. So that leads to part of that it's just shaded and it's trees, but railroads also have a lot of rock along them, so there's not a lot of combustible materials right next to the track, but we got to be careful, because I don't think we're out of the drought yet. And it could get dry again, and we don't want to let our guard down when it comes to grass fires and disposing of fire pit materials. And
I cannot remember a June like this, Dusty. I cannot.
It's going to get to 90 again this week, and we've already got to our average number of 90-degree days. Well, today's the first day of summer.
I've only mowed a couple times.
No complaints there. Me too.
I mean, I have, because I wanted to keep it somewhat green. I didn't mow it as much as I would have.
Right.
Well, you have a fantastic day.
I will.
And we'll maybe see you on the 4th again. Fireworks will be happening in North Alexander Park.
Yep. Make sure if you go down there to watch them, don't face south like we used to. Look north.
Look north. I thought it was go west, young man, go west. But we're supposed to look north.
Yeah, look north for fireworks.
Look north for the fireworks in Faribault. Look north.
Yes.
Sounds like a song. Look north. Anyway, that is AM Minnesota Today. Tomorrow, John Dvorak from the Fair will be visiting with Jerry. Have a great day.
Broadcasting worldwide.